A Playlist Original.
Hey everyone, Jeff here from Films at Home. Thanks for coming back to the Films at Home podcast today. I know I've taken a couple weeks off. We had our baby, so I appreciate the patience as we get back to some regular posting and wrap up our season two here. We have a few more episodes coming after this one where we will be talking to some different guests, but for today's episode, it's just going to be me. And the topic I really wanted to talk about is one that's been brought up a few times on YouTube and on social media in my conversations with the community. And that is, you know, what can you guys do as the average consumer? What can I do even as somebody, you know, with an audience and with content like this to try and get some more visibility towards physical media and try to get some movies and maybe TV shows released on, at the very least, Blu-ray, if not 4K, and, you know, really grow those catalogs. Like, how do you make your voice known is a question that I get a lot, because we do have a fairly large community and all of this is, you know, supply and demand. If there's demand and we can show that, you know, 50,000, 100,000 of us are really interested in buying a certain movie on 4K or Blu-ray, I think it's a no-brainer. Studios should do that. But the problem is they don't always know that, and they don't always really have the incentive to even go out and, like, look for that data. So I have been talking to some people in the industry. I've talked to directors, filmmakers, a couple of actors, you know, cinematographers, directors of photography, people who would be, you know, really heavily involved with like a new transfer. And I've got some ideas. I've gotten some feedback from them that I'll share with you. And, you know, I think that there is really something you can do even as the average consumer, even if you've got, you know, 10 followers on Instagram or Twitter, like there are things that can be done. And I think you'll find it's interesting the way that you should go about this, because I'll tell you right now, the answer is not always going straight to the studio, which I think is what many people may assume. So in my conversations, you know, as we've been talking to different industry people, and, you know, whether it's a studio or, you know, another boutique label or somebody who just is involved in home entertainment, you know, the biggest thing right now is that obviously everybody's focus is streaming, because it's the new hot thing. It's the new thing that investors in Wall Street get excited about. But recently, there have been some changes there, because a lot of companies, you know, Disney just had a shareholder meeting, their quarterly meeting. They did not do well on Disney Plus. They lost some subscribers. And I've seen multiple articles in business sources that, you know, talk about how streaming just isn't as profitable a business anymore. Like, it's just not profitable. The amount of money that Netflix spends on originals, or Disney or Apple or Amazon have spent on originals, it's not always a good ROI. They don't always get the return. And so these companies are looking for other ways to generate revenue. And I'm hoping that may mean they start to take a look back at home video in Blu-ray, DVD, and 4K physical media again, because that is a pretty good way to generate easy profit, easy revenue, right? It must cost, what, $5 for them to make a disc? If you can sell it for 20, that's a no-brainer. People will buy it as long as the movie's popular enough. So those are the decisions that things have been floating around. Like, there's been some conversation on how do we start to make money in this economic somewhat recession. People are cutting back a little bit on streaming. It seems streaming just isn't profitable, because you're fully based on subscriber numbers. If your subscribers go down, you lose money. Like, they're not making ad money. They're not making revenue in other ways. It's a really difficult business to be in, especially where it's gotten so competitive with Paramount, Disney, Warner Brothers, Discovery, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. I mean, you name it, all the way down to boutique, sort of smaller streaming services. Everybody has a streaming service. The Criterion Channel, Arrow Video has one, Shout Factory TV. Everybody, Shudder is one of my favorites and one of the ones that I do fully support because they do physical media releases. I love Shudder and all their originals and their horror content. But there's so much competition. So I think people will start to pay more attention to physical media for revenue. Like, I think that's a reason why Shudder is successful, because they get people to sign up for their streaming service, and then they also release their originals, even their TV shows, stuff like History of Horror, Cursed Films, Creepshow. They put that stuff out on Blu-ray and it sells really well because collectors want to own it in their collection, and they still pay to stream the stuff on Shudder. So like, Shudder has a really unique business model there. So how can we get the other companies to start to realize that there is a market? And how can you have your voice heard? One of the biggest things that I've been told is that, and I recently tweeted about this, I think, or I posted about it somewhere, how most directors, actors, filmmakers, cinematographers, whatever, they don't even know that their movies don't have a Blu-ray release or a 4K release if they're interested in that. Most of them are completely unaware. I know, for instance, like, I talked to Brian Levant, who he is a pretty decent name in Hollywood. He did Beethoven. He did The Flintstones and The Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas. He did Jingle All the Way. He did Are We There Yet? I mean, he has a pretty substantial amount of hits for at least like family audiences underneath his belt, especially in the 80s and 90s. He did a lot of great work. And when I asked him about Jingle All the Way, kind of jokingly, like, hey, I love this movie. It has a Blu-ray release. Like, would you ever do a 4K? His answer first off was like, would people actually buy that? Like, was that something people actually want? And I said, you know, I think based on all the cult following your movie has gained over the last few years, yes. And then his second question to me, and I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember it exactly, was something along the lines of like, well, how do I go about doing that? I guess I'll have to contact Disney and see what's going on in Fox and see if maybe that's something I can do. And it was very apparent to me in that moment that even as the director of that movie, you know, you created that movie, that is your piece of art, he really didn't have much power or much ownership of that movie as a sort of mid-tier director. Like, your average director, it appears to me, sort of directs the movie. They do their thing. They obviously have an eternal connection to that movie. But when it comes to home video, like, they're not even involved many times. Now, your higher tier people, your James Cameron's, your Christopher Nolan's, that tier of director, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, they can get their stuff out on home video and they're very involved. Like, James Cameron says he wants something to go out on 4K. Disney will find a way to put that out on 4K. If Christopher Nolan says that, you know, Interstellar and his entire collection needs to come to 4K, well, we've seen that. Warner Brothers has essentially done all of their movies with him and released them on 4K. Like, the guys who are at that level, if they make these requests, and they tend to be pretty on top of their catalogs as well, and they're very passionate about the way that their movies look specifically, you're going to see the studios do things to appease them. Even if it may not be the best-selling movie, they'll put it out there because they want to maintain a good relationship with James Cameron. When James Cameron is printing money for Disney at the box office with his Avatar movies, if he requests Titanic go out in 4K, they're going to make that happen, and they are. If he requests that Avatar comes out in 4K, they're going to make that happen, and they are. Now, it may take a while, like The Abyss, another one that he requested, worked on, still don't have a release date for, but apparently has been finished and is waiting for his approval. Some of this stuff can take forever for that reason. David Fincher's another one who I assume, you know, if he wanted to get his stuff out there with how big a name he is, he would. I think that's a major reason why Mank comes to Netflix off of, or comes to Criterion, off of Netflix, is because David Fincher has that pull. So there's those top tier directors that have that pull, but for the majority of movies, these directors don't have that pull, and they aren't necessarily aware of the fact that there is a gap in their catalog. And a lot of them, rightfully so, are passionate about their movies. They obviously want to see their movies presented in the best format. They want to see it presented with, you know, possibly some extras behind the scenes. Maybe they want to do a commentary track on a movie. You know, Brian Levant's a great example with Jingle All the Way. When they released it on DVD and Blu-ray, he wanted his director's cut in there, and they made that happen. It added a few moments to the movie. It was his preferred version. It was not available on VHS. Now the Family Fun Edition you can buy on Blu-ray includes his director's cut as well as the theatrical cut. So like, you can get involved and make those things happen. But what I've been told is that really the way to get a release out is not to go to the studio. In the past, I've always been saying in my videos, like, well, you know, hey, Disney, we really want you to dive into the Fox catalog, or hey, Paramount, Warner Brothers, Lionsgate, we really want this movie on 4K, or we really need this movie to at least get a Blu-ray release on HD. And my response and call to action had always been like, well, email Disney, tweet at Warner Brothers, send them a DM, like, you know, send them messages, let them know. The reality is, as I've learned, and I probably should have known this being a marketing guy myself, the DMs, the emails, the tweets, they're going to most likely a social media manager somewhere. And that person does not have a whole lot of pull over what happens in home video. Now, if they send the stuff up to home entertainment and they get it in front of those people at this point in time in 2023 still don't have much pull. Even though they run the home entertainment and physical media department, the home video department, they still don't have much say in what actually gets released and what comes out, because it all comes down to business decisions. And these places are very focused on subscriber numbers, streaming numbers. Even the companies who do a great job, like a Warner Brothers or a Paramount, like, they're pushing Warner Brothers Discovery. There's going to be some new like Discovery Max platform that combines HBO Max and Discovery Warner. Paramount has Paramount Plus. Like, they have ulterior motives, and they're still doing a great job. Universal, same way. They're still doing a great job with releasing physical releases, but there's a reason you're getting, you know, a new streaming show on their service every week. And we're getting, you know, Warner Brothers for their 100th anniversary is doing 12 4K discs. They're doing one a month, which is awesome. I appreciate that. But there's clearly going to be more stuff and more content coming out to Discovery Plus and HBO Max than what comes out on disc. It's just not a priority. So the way to go about it is not to contact them, because you're ultimately getting to like a social media intern, a social media manager. Even if they do for some reason pass that up to the right person, they don't have a ton of pull. And you're obviously not going to be able to get your emails, tweets, DMs into the inbox of Disney's CEO, Warner's CEO. It's just not the reality that stuff is going to float up to the top. They're too busy with other things. So what I've been told is the way to make this happen is to find the people who are involved with the movie. Now, I would probably start with directors, because they tend to have the most connection to the movie. They can get the most passionate about it. But even actors, if you can get the group of actors involved in a movie to get really passionate about something, especially if they're an actor who has some pull, has a good audience that they can promote this to. I was talking to somebody who mentioned that a lot of times these directors don't even know what's coming. So we have to make them aware. We have to, you know, literally tell them or ask them, hey, have you ever thought about putting movie XYZ out on Blu-ray? It doesn't have a Blu-ray release right now. People in the world cannot own your movie with an HD physical copy. That resonates to a lot of people, because I don't think they realize it. They assume, well, there's an HD stream somewhere. There's even a 4K stream. Well, they must be putting out a disc if people still want to buy those. And they don't really realize that, you know, 95% of the time, the stuff that is streaming in HD or streaming in 4K, maybe not 95% of the time, but a good chunk of the time, that stuff's not available on physical media, but it'll have a 4K stream or an HD stream somewhere. Like, Idiocracy is a movie I talked about the other day on Twitter. It's a 20th Century Studio movie. How does that not have a Blu-ray release? Mike Judge is a guy who I think cares about physical media, considering they're still putting out Beavis and Butthead like box sets. A lot of his other movies have had multiple physical media releases. Office Space has had numerous collector's editions on Blu-ray over the years. So how does that movie not have a release? I guess he had talked about it in a podcast with Joe Rogan, so there's a reason. But, you know, that was just one example. There have been other examples that I've put out there. Unfortunately, a lot of them tend to be like 20th century titles, but and that kind of gets locked up in the Disney machine. But Disney, Warner, Paramount, Universal, Lionsgate, they're willing to do it if a director that they're looking forward to working with or want to maintain a good relationship with asks for it. And especially when it comes to like HD masters, like most of these movies have the HD master already done. They've been preserved at least HD. And there's thousands and thousands of movies that have never made their way to even Blu-ray. So if you can get a director or an actor or a DP, a cinematographer, somebody who's heavily involved with the project to get passionate about this, those are the types of people that do have the ear of higher ups. Those are the types of people who can make, I wouldn't say a stink, but they can make their case and they can say, well, hey, you know, you guys really wanted me to work on this project for HBO Max and I'd love to do it and help out and produce it, direct it. One thing I was really hoping is, you know, could you put out movie ABC 123 on Blu-ray? Because that's something I'm really passionate about. If that's the trade-off, if that's what they can do, you know, that's a possibility. I'm not saying that this is going to happen very regularly, but we have to realize that people just literally don't know stuff's coming out. Like I heard from someone that, you know, Ben Stiller didn't know that Tropic Thunder 4K was being released by Kino Lorber. He knew that the transfer had been done and that his DP, I think, supervised it and approved it. He had no idea it even existed. He had not seen it. He did not have a copy of it. Like this is one of his biggest movies. If you're Ben Stiller, like, and this is a movie he also directed and he had no idea. So like, even when they do get done, a lot of times, you know, just because the lack of visibility to physical media, the lack of marketing, the lack of a brand awareness right now within this world, whatever you want to call it, like literally even when it does get done, these guys don't know that it's happening. So you can imagine how many directors, how many actors out there have no clue that there are huge gaps in their filmography that don't have Blu-ray, don't have 4K. And so you can find a lot of these people on Twitter. Many directors have Twitter accounts. I mean, I've been writing my book about horror movies. And, you know, I just found a director the other day of a semi-obscure, it's not super obscure. The movie was Buried, which is sort of horror adjacent with Ryan Reynolds. It's a very claustrophobic movie. If you know that one, he's basically buried alive and the whole movie takes place like inside him inside the casket with him. And I reached out to the director and like, just sent a DM. He got back to me, you know, like these people, you know, if they're not Steven Spielberg or James Cameron, like they often are able to interact with fans or they look at their tweets. Like I know for sure, like directors of, you know, some smaller horror stuff like The Empty Man, which doesn't have a release, Barbarian, which still doesn't have a release. Like those are the types of movies that you could definitely get, a community behind, actors behind, start to make some sort of, you know, awareness. And those are tough because those are like newer directors. But, you know, definitely go back to the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, all those movies that, you know, you loved from that time period, many of which don't have these physical media releases. You can find those directors online. You can start to notify them. You could ask them, hey, you ever thought about doing this? I bet a lot of times they'd say no, or I had no idea that was an option. And then, you know, maybe all of a sudden you're triggering some conversations. Maybe that guy's making a phone call to, you know, somebody over at Warner Brothers who he's got a close relationship with and say, hey, you know, thought this would be great. And maybe it ends up on the Warner Archive label or something like that. Like what has to happen is you just have to get those conversations started. And it's not going to start by emailing Disney's, you know, PR department or Warner's PR department or tweeting at the Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, you know, account or Paramount's main account. Like, they're also doing theatrical distribution. They're doing streaming. They're covering everything. So that's not the way to go about it. The way to go about it is to really find the people involved. And, you know, hopefully if we can do this enough, you may start to see a little bit of traction. You may start to see some traction because, like I said, these studios are looking for revenue right now. They're looking for profitable ways that they can turn things around because a lot of them are hurting. Theatrical numbers are down. Like, the box office is down across the board, especially compared to, you know, even 5-10 years ago. You get your big tentpole movies, you get your Top Gun Mavericks, you get your Avatars, you get stuff like that. And horror movies continue to print money at the box office. But, you know, something like, I looked at The Fabelmans the other day and I was doing a 4K review, $25 million at the box office on a $40 million budget. I mean, add in all the marketing costs. To me, that's like a huge bust. Like, they probably lost $25, $30 million on that movie. And the only way that they're going to get some of that back is through physical media sales. Like, they're is dead at the box office. They're not going to get any more money theatrically. So you've got to sell it to a streaming service, which is going to be like a one-time licensing fee. Or you put it out on physical media. And again, like, it's just instant profit. Every one of those discs that gets bought is profit for the company. There's manufacturing costs, of course, and there's costs to get these things into stores. But I think about like a groove.com, which is owned by Universal. Like, I think that's why Universal, and it's a co-ownership between Universal and Warner Brothers through studio distribution services and their co-agreement there. The reason why they went direct is because it is pure profit. Now, at this point, like, you buy a Universal title or a Warner Brothers title from groove.com, they don't have to pay a retailer share. They don't have to pay a cut to Target, Walmart, Best Buy. They just literally comes into their warehouse. They ship it. It's free shipping because they just eat the cost. They send it media mail, whatever. It costs $3 to ship it. It costs $5 to make it. You paid $25 for the disc. Well, I mean, yeah, there's some small advertising costs and other things that come out of it, but you're going to make $10 to $15 on every single disc. That is more than the cost of a 1 month subscription. So if you can get one person to buy one disc a month, they are a more profitable person for your business than a streaming subscriber, where you have to create dozens and dozens of shows and expensive content for them. Well, in this case, you only needed to create content that was already out there, already released theatrically. You put it on a disc and this person bought it and made you more money than a streaming subscriber. You get somebody to do that every month for 12 months, their profits will be up. So I do think that's where you'll start to see them come back to. They're going to start to shift back to doing maybe some manufacturing on demand, but the way to do it is just get in the ears of the people involved. Make them realize the gap. Make them realize that their movies are being underserved by only being available on DVD. Make them realize the benefits of a Blu-ray versus an HD stream and how their movie could look so much better. Get them passionate about their movie again. And those conversations, they'll start to happen, because I'm telling you, even though home video, it's slipping every year, like, it's dropping every year, it'll plateau at some point. But these studios are looking for ways. Disney just had a press release the other day, like, or it wasn't their press release, but a news story broke that they're looking to now license their Disney Plus stuff and some of their other 20th Century Fox content out to other streamers. Like, they're trying to now license back out to a Netflix or license out to Amazon Prime, because just doing Disney Plus and keeping it all in-house isn't making them enough money. If that's the case, then I can extrapolate there and say, well, I expect them to hopefully start to license some of their stuff out to physical media too. Like, that's a no-brainer. If you don't want to do it in-house and it's not profitable for you in-house, then give the rights to Shout Factory, Kino, give the rights to Arrow Video, give the rights to Criterion, give the rights to somebody who will support physical media. And it's literally money in their pocket. Like, that's the crazy part. They can license this stuff out and it's just straight up money in their pocket. But, you know, this is what you can do basically as a collector and as an enthusiast. you know, the story. I don't know if you guys knew this, if you've watched my WALL-E Criterion Collection review. This is a great example. Andrew Stanton, who was the director of WALL-E, the only reason that WALL-E gets a Criterion release and becomes the first Disney, or it was either the first Pixar movie, I think, to ever be in the Criterion Collection. Might be the first Disney one ever in the Criterion Collection as well, although they may have done some stuff back in the DVD or Laserdisc days, but it was the first Pixar movie. The reason that happened is because Andrew Stanton had some serious pull at Pixar. He was passionate about getting his movie into the Criterion Collection and getting a premium physical media release. And so Disney basically said, well, that's not something we typically do, but for you, Andrew, we'll make it happen because we respect you. We want to keep a good working relationship with you. You've done a lot for the company. So in exchange, we're going to let you go take on this project and license this out to Criterion. That's how these things happen. That does not happen because somebody at Disney had a big idea about putting a Pixar movie in Criterion. That does not happen because they were looking to make some money. It all happened because the guy who directed the movie said he wanted it to happen and they listened to him. So that's what we need more of. And that's why I mean, like, it doesn't have to be a James Cameron, a Steven Spielberg. If these guys have pull, if they're working on current projects with these studios, if they have a great working relationship with these studios, if these studios want to keep them happy, they will go out and make a physical release for them. They will do that as a, almost as a favor to these people. So, you know, get your directors involved, get your actors involved, let them know that there's gaps. And I think that's where you'll start to see more physical media content over the next few years. It's going to be sort of like these grassroots campaigns. But the way to go about it is definitely not like, I look at like what people online are trying to do with like sell Zack Snyder's Justice League universe to Netflix. And they're like starting a hashtag. And there was like a day where they're like, everyone's going to just spam this hashtag. We're trying to get it trending. That's never, I'll be fully honest, like that's never going to accomplish anything because Warner doesn't have an interest in selling that. They don't currently have a working relationship with Zack Snyder. They cut those ties. And so there's literally no reason for them to do that. But in another world, if Zack Snyder still had a great relationship with Warner Brothers, sometimes guys like that have the pull. They have the pull to make that happen. And he may have had the pull at Netflix to say, Netflix, I've been doing a ton of work for you. Buy the rights out to this and let me do a series. Let me do a couple of movies. Like in an alternate universe, maybe that happens. But that is how a lot of deals happen. It's purely like relationship based. And, you know, some of it is certainly business based, but that's not the end all be all for this stuff. A lot of it is relationship based. A lot of it is doing favors for one another, keeping directors and actors in your good graces at your studio so they continue to work with you and create content with you. That's what it all comes down to. It's a really interesting thing that I've sort of learned is, you know, I've always just thought like, why isn't there more physical media? Like physical media, I saw some numbers like a movie like The Last Starfighter sold like 70,000 copies for Arrow Video last year on 4K. Like that's not a movie I would expect to sell that much, but if it sold 70,000 at $25-$30 a piece, I mean they did pretty okay with that release depending on how much transfer, but I mean they definitely made a profit on that, and that's a movie you don't expect. So like it's never really been about the business, right? Because they could always do manufacturing on demand. Make 10,000 discs, sell them for $20 a piece. When they sell out, make another 5,000. If those sell out, make another 5,000. Like you could just keep manufacturing on demand. So it's not about that. It's not about the revenue and the business. It's not all about the bottom line. That's a very, very big part of it. But it's just about the focus has shifted away to streaming. And, you know, directors are so focused on that too. Like they want to know how many people viewed their movie on Netflix, and they're always surprised to see, you always see the tweets like, I can't believe my movie I directed in 1993, which was universally panned by critics, is now trending at number 2 on Netflix worldwide. And it's like, yeah, because people are rediscovering stuff which has been lost, which has been hidden. So imagine if you, you know, could capitalize on that and get a physical media release out of that obscure movie that all of a sudden, you know, found a new audience. That's Jingle All the Way for sure. Like, that movie didn't have an audience, and now all of a sudden in 2023, Brian Levant is out there doing screenings and selling out theaters to have people watch his movie around Christmas time. I mean, it just feels like a no-brainer for a release that would make some money. And it just comes down to the fact of, you know, whether or not he pushes for it and whether or not other directors push for it and how strong their relationship with it is with the studio. It's all a relationship game. And I should have known, like, that definitely makes sense. Like, Hollywood's always been relationships, and, you know, it's always been who you know. And I just never thought of it in this way. But, you know, that would be, that's my ultimate advice. I've been rambling a little bit, talking about a lot of different stuff here, but ultimately, like, this is, that's the question I wanted to answer, is like, why can it be so hard to reach somebody at a studio, you know, how does the common person out there, you know, the average person, have their voice heard? And it's like, you need to be amplified through the voice of a director, a filmmaker, a cinematographer. You, as a single person, you're not going to have your voice heard. That's just the reality of the internet. There's just too much. There's too many emails being sent every day. You have to get your voice amplified by somebody with a larger audience. It's something I try to do, but even my audience is not large enough to convince people to do things. So I need to amplify that even higher. Use my platform to try to reach somebody with a larger platform, with more influence. Get them to talk to somebody. Have those conversations get started. And that's how you do it. That's really the end all, be all answer to that question. And you know, the reasoning behind, I think there's a lot of reasons why certain movies don't make it to Blu-ray, don't make it to 4K. But I think a lot of the reasoning behind it is just simply there wasn't any interest in doing it. Like, it's not a business reason. There's not a lot of market research, I think, being done in this world right now to, you know, figure out whether this one might sell or might not. It really just comes down to, look at some of the movies that come out. Like, some of the stuff that Sony is putting out on 4K. You're like, there's no way that that is probably profitable for them. But it must have been some filmmaker, must have been some project they were working on that just made sense for, I'm trying to think of a recent example, but there's just, I mean, even the Sony Pictures Classics, like 4K set, nobody was saying, hey, we got to get the celluloid closet out on 4K. Nobody was saying, hey, we really need, Volver out on 4K or SLC Punk out on 4K. I mean, the directors of those movies didn't even know those were happening. So there must be some reasoning behind the scenes, but like, it's not business related. So it's got to be relationship or some other just passion project by somebody inside the team who has the ear of an executive who can make this stuff happen. So, you know, don't expect to be able to just go out there. And if we tweet 100,000 times and get, you know, something like Release the Abyss on 4K trending, it's not really going to move the needle much unless somebody related to James Cameron picks that up and amplifies it. If they do, now all of a sudden you've got studios looking and saying, oh, okay, James really wants us to get done. We love James. James prints us money. We need to get this done. That's how it happens. So hopefully this answers some of those questions. I also, you know, I kind of expanded a little bit as I talked here. This podcast, this episode was definitely a little bit off the cuff, but I wanted to talk about like the industry, the business, why decisions are being made and how you can influence them. So hopefully this gave you a little bit of background on like all of that. And I'm definitely no like industry insider for sure. Like don't think that I have like some special information. Like, I'm still just a guy sitting at his house with a bunch of movies in New Hampshire. I'm like literally as far away from LA and Hollywood as you can possibly be in the United States. Like, I am so far removed from that world. I have a handful of people who I talk to who work in that space or might know something, like, and I'm just picking up tidbits from articles that are released and press releases and, you know, just emails back and forth with people as I'm talking to people from different studios or other creators who may have heard something. Like, this is where all this is coming from. So I'm definitely no insider, but I do know that this is hopefully good information. Like I stand by everything I've said here. And I have heard, I can confirm, like from several sources within major labels, that the way to get traction is to get the director, to get the actor, to get Tom Cruise, say, involved somehow. Like if you can amplify this message or get it to somebody in his circle, then that's how you get releases done. That's how you get the stuff done. Has to be somebody with that level of pull, but it doesn't always have to be that you tweet at Tom Cruise. You can tweet to, you know, maybe you find somebody who's who works with them, or you can find an agent or, you know, something like that, and you can make them aware of it. And maybe they have a conversation. You find the director of a movie, they can talk to the actors. This is all just how it's going to have to work. But it's a changing world right now. Like really with the way the streaming business is going, it's not sustainable. It's, you know, there's going to be huge drops in subscriber numbers, and there's going to be huge drops of certain services. Because if there's not consolidation, you know, you're basically creating cable television 2.0 with the fact that now you have to own Disney, Paramount, Warner, Hulu, Amazon, Netflix. You got to have your Shudder. You got to have your Criterion Channel, your TCM, your Turner Classics. You got to have your Arrow Video. You got to have, you know, a million and a half different platforms. Well, now you've literally got like 50 channels that you're paying $10 a month for. It's craziness. It's craziness. And you don't get to pick and choose what you get to watch. So I expect physical media to have like this sort of renaissance that vinyl records have had. And that was a response to the music industry, I think, also realizing we can't be so fractured in all of our streaming, and we can't rely solely on streaming for our revenue. Because if I pay Spotify $15 a month, how much of that is going back to the artists and the labels? Like nothing. But if I buy your vinyl record, how much of that goes back to the artists and the labels? Bigger question. I know the artists don't get as much as they should, but the businesses make way more on vinyl records. So it's no shock that that's what they've started promoting even after streaming. And even as streaming remains the 100% dominant way, don't expect streaming to go anywhere. The way people are going to watch movies is going to be online through a service. That is the future. That is where people are going. That has won. Streaming has won, but it hasn't won the profitability war. And I think physical media has a space there. I mean, the vinyl market, everyone talks about how huge vinyl is and the big resurgence of vinyl records and how it's changed the music industry. And at the end of the day, I was looking at sales numbers, and I'm fairly confident to say that the vinyl record market, even at its peak right now, as it's grown over the last few years, is either very similar in size or just slightly larger than the physical media market. But all we hear, physical media is vinyl, so the Blu-ray and DVD and 4K market, compared to the vinyl record market, they're very, very similar in size. Now, one is growing and one is shrinking, but all you hear is that, you know, Blu-ray DVD is dead, and it's a dead market, and it's not profitable when it still is pretty highly profitable. And that vinyl is so, it's growing so fast, and it's creating amazing profits for the labels and the artists, way better than streaming services, blah, 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 blah. That shift is going to happen in movies and entertainment too. Like, expect it. Don't expect Netflix to go anywhere. Don't expect your content to go anywhere. It's going to be on a streaming service, just like all your music is on Spotify. But it's just going to be another way. It's going to be that extra avenue for these businesses to impress shareholders and hopefully turn those red lines into green lines in their reports, right? Because that's what business has to do. And streaming is just losing its profitability. And it's like these software companies that are laying people off, that they all expanded so huge over the last few years, because I guess everyone just thought the COVID boom with streaming and software, it was just gonna keep going up and to the right. And the reality is the world is now changing again and kind of resettling and restructuring and reestablishing itself in a new way. And all these software companies that ramped up are laying off a bunch of people because they're not profitable. Disney just laid off 7,000 people. Warner Brothers has already laid off people. There have been layoffs left and right in the software world, in the entertainment world. And one interesting thing too, before I sign off, is like the reason that these aren't profitable, the streaming services aren't profitable for a Disney or a Paramount or a Warner Brothers in the same way that they're profitable for Netflix, is because Netflix is really a technology company. Netflix built an incredible infrastructure. They changed the world with their streaming platform. They are a software company first. They have to have this immense infrastructure that they pay a lot of money to run in order to keep Netflix online and working properly. And then when they nailed that aspect of the business, they started to generate their own content to put onto their platform. But at the core of it, they're a tech company. They're a software company. They are a software sales company selling subscriptions to their software, which is proprietary to them. These other places, Disney, Warner, Paramount, they just jumped in and they just assumed, well, you know, Netflix could do it. We have all the content. We can easily do this. Problem is, they're not technology companies. They are entertainment companies. They're creating content, but they've never created technology before. Very, very, very expensive to stand up a Disney Plus. All the software developers you have to hire, all the infrastructure that's in place, the server costs, the maintenance of it, just getting stuff loaded onto the platform and building that platform cost them so much money. And it's the same across the board, whether they did it in-house or they had to hire somebody to do it for them, massively expensive. Then they also had to go out and spend a ton of money on content to populate the platform with originals that were going to drive people their way. And they just honestly can't keep up with the costs of being a technology company while at the same time being a entertainment and content company. And that's what's sinking a lot of them. They're not sunk yet, but it's why streaming just isn't super profitable. It's why the Netflix model makes so much sense, because they invest in lots of different projects, but they heavily invest in a few shows a year that are going to make a big splash, like a Stranger Things or Wednesday, stuff like that. You know, Squid Game, they're going to invest a bunch of money in now because that'll be a huge hit. And then they have some reality shows that probably cost them nothing. They license out some, you know, small indie rom-coms, indie horror stuff. You know, they buy licensing stuff that I'm sure doesn't cost them much. But they've got this infrastructure they built that's so proprietary to them that it's just not running them into the ground. And even they are struggling, like for sure, to find profitability in this world. But they're a tech company and they know how to run a tech company and they know how to keep infrastructure running and how to do it cost in a cost-effective way that Disney doesn't understand, that Warner Brothers doesn't understand. You can bring the executive over from Netflix or whatever, or Hulu to Disney. You can bring them over to Warner. You can try to have them teach you. But at the end of the day, you're basically creating an entirely new arm of your business, which you weren't ready for. And that's where they can get back to the basics. They know that they can produce physical media content and it's profitable. And, you know, hopefully that's where they come back to. But hopefully this gave you some insight. I know it was a long conversation, but that's what I have these podcasts for. Some of them will be nice and structured. Some of them will be great interviews that are, you know, really well put together. And sometimes it's 45 minutes of me just sort of talking and getting thoughts out of my head. And that's definitely what this one was. So I apologize if this was all over the place, if you didn't enjoy this. I get it. It's a little bit different than the other stuff I've done, but this is, you know, it's an outlet for me. And hopefully, you know, some of this message, you know, resonates with you guys, and hopefully it gives you that call to action. You know, go find your favorite directors, go find your favorite actors, go find the movies that they haven't released that you're passionate about and let them know, ping them, hit them up, because I'm telling you, these studios are looking for ways to make profit. If we can give them data that says people are interested in this movie, it trended on Netflix, it sold 100,000 DVDs last year, get this on Blu-ray. If you can make those arguments and the directors will help you, you know, do that at the higher level, might have some success getting some more stuff put out there. Who knows? Maybe we'll have no success. But remember what everyone's told me, That's the only way to get anything done these days. So I highly encourage you guys to do that. Skip the emails to Disney corporate, skip the emails to, you know, Warner Brothers, skip the tweets and DMs to their corporate accounts, skip all that. Spend your time on finding the director and getting those passionate, creative people involved here. That's how I think we win. So thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. I'm going to have a few guests to round out season two of the podcast here. And then I am tossing around some ideas for season three to possibly give this podcast some more structure or, you know, even take it away from maybe launch a different podcast. The Films at Home podcast, you know, I can talk about physical media and we can interview people and that is a lot of fun, but physical media is a niche topic. And, you know, I don't always have a million topics to talk about versus the wide world of movies where I could certainly talk about other things each week that are, you know, can expand a little bit more. So I'm throwing around some ideas like what's this podcast going to be in the future. So, you know, let me know what you guys think. Send me, you know, you can send me your DMs and your tweets and stuff because I do pay attention. You can also email me and I'll probably respond to you. But I'm curious, like, would you like to see a format where, you know, say I launch a different podcast off of this one, or I just keep this one, but, you know, season three is focused on, you know, the format wars of, you know, the history of physical media, say VHS to DVD, you know, Betamax, Laserdisc, VHS, DVD, Blu-ray. And we do like 45 minutes each week on what was going on in that world at the time and tell the story of physical media. Would you be interested in like a season of podcast episodes where I just cover a specific director and their works or a specific decade of movies, you know, say I'm going to cover movies from the 1970s, you know, or the top box office hits from the 80s. Would that stuff be interesting to you? I'm curious. So please let me know. And I'll post this out there and get some more responses as well. But it could be the Films at Home podcast. It could be like an offshoot, a one-off podcast that I do. You know, it could be anything, but I'm passionate about this. And I like the video format too. Like, you know, if I did something more, I'd probably have them edit the video to be more than just me talking at you. And we'll add some visuals and things like that. But I'd have to go find a video editor. It can get costly. So, you know, I want to make sure I have the buy-in. So let me know what you think about that. But as always, I appreciate you listening, watching this, wherever you're at in the world. Always much appreciated. If you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever, if you want to leave a 5-star rating and follow our show over there, that's a great way to support if you're enjoying the content. And if you're on YouTube watching this one, well, of course, we'd love if you'd subscribe to the channel so you don't miss a podcast episode. And make sure you follow me on social media. All those links are in the description. So thank you again for listening and or watching. I appreciate all the support. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Stay safe and stay healthy out there. And I will talk to you all soon.
Coming soon. Be sure to subscribe to the Films at Home podcast using your favorite app so you don't miss another episode. And while you're there, don't forget to rate and review this podcast, which helps us out tremendously. You can also help support us by watching our short form content over on YouTube and TikTok by searching Films at Home. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @films_@_home. The intro and outro were created by Elon Osborne. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.